Let us pray. Dear Lord, today we honor our veterans, worthy men and women who gave their best when they were called upon to serve and protect their country. We pray that you will bless them, Lord, for their unselfish service in the continual struggle to preserve our freedoms, our safety, and our country's heritage for all of us. Bless them abundantly for the hardships they faced, for the sacrifices they made, for their many different contributions to America's victories over tyranny and oppression. We respect them, we thank them, we honor them, we are proud of them, and we pray that you will watch over them. These are special people. Bless them with peace and happiness. And, O Lord God, we have no words adequate to the task of expressing how blessed we feel this Veterans Day as we come together for worship. We give you thanks for the life-giving rain. We look around us and see sisters and brothers, people who share our faith, who have shared our joys and sorrows. We look at the cross and see a symbol of your commitment to our salvation and your amazing, amazing grace. We look in the Bible and see that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that you search for us when we are lost, and that you celebrate with the angels when we are found. Help us, Lord, find ways to express our gratitude to you and to others. Help us bless the world with our words and deeds. Help us share the gospel of your love and welcome those who respond to it. Lord, we know we live in a troubled world. Forgive us, we pray, for our part. Discourage those who wage war so they might become willing to consider other ways to establish justice. Calm those who rage. Defeat those who seek to control others through abuse. Help us see as heroes those who work quietly for the good of others by performing random acts of kindness. Sustain those who are still working to repair the damage done in the Northeast by Superstorm Sandy. Now, Lord, be with us as we turn to your word with hope. May we not be disappointed or go away hungry from this spiritual feast. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.
Our scripture reading today comes from Mark 12, verses 38 through 44. Now hear these words. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace, and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." May he add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate that. It's a very special day for us, and as I said earlier, Veterans Day has always held a special place in my heart. I hope it does in yours. So many have died and so many have put their life on the line to ensure that we can come together today and have a worship service free without worry of any repercussions. When one has plenty to give, it is easy to give, or at least should be. When one has very little to give but gives, it is commendable. In our scripture, Jesus makes this clear. What is interesting to me is that Jesus does not speak of giving one's all as he gave himself. He did not speak of it, but he lived it. Today is a day when we celebrate those who either gave or were willing to give all they had, even unto their lives. This is a day wherein we say thank you to our military veterans. Some of you may not know how this day came about, so let me share the story of Veterans Day with you. In 1921, an unknown World War I American soldier was buried in Arlington National Cemetery. This site, on a hillside overlooking the Potomac River and the city of Washington, became the focal point of reverence for America's veterans. Similar ceremonies occurred earlier in England and France, where an unknown soldier was buried in each nation's highest place of honor. These memorial gestures all took place on November 11, giving universal recognition to the celebrated ending of World War I fighting at 11 a.m., November 11, 1918, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. The day became known as Armistice Day. Realizing that peace was equally preserved by veterans of World War II and Korea, Congress was requested to make this day an occasion to honor those who have served America in all wars. In 1954, President Eisenhower signed a bill proclaiming November 11th as Veterans Day. I have had some say to me that not all veterans deserve recognition. This is mostly based on a dislike for the veteran's personality rather than their service. To this I say, veterans are human beings, and like all human beings, some have pleasant and some have not so pleasant personalities. But if they put their life in harm's way to preserve our freedoms, then honor them, I will. Now, among veterans, we know of those who served who were not the most grateful of people. And at times we found there were those that we found hard to take. We veterans are aware of these people. We served with them. And there are some veterans that are a little hard to take. One such case was during the Vietnam War, where a young West Point graduate was sent over to lead a group of new recruits into battle. He did his job well, trying his best to keep his from ambush and death. But one night, when they had been under attack, he was unable to get just one of his men to safety. The soldier left behind had been severely wounded. From their trenches, the young lieutenant and his men could hear him and his pain. They all knew any attempt to save him, even if it was successful, would almost certainly mean death for the would-be rescuer. Eventually, the young lieutenant crawled out of hiding toward the dying man. He got to him safely, but was killed before he could save himself. After the rescued man returned to the States, the lieutenant's parents heard that he was in their vicinity, wanting to know this young man whose life was spared at such a great cost to them. They invited him to dinner. When their honored guest arrived, he was obviously drunk. He was rowdy and obnoxious. He told off-color jokes and showed no gratitude for the sacrifice of the man who died to save him. The grieving parents did the best they could to make the man's visit worthwhile, but their efforts went unrewarded. Their guest finally left. As the dad closed the door behind him, the mother collapsed in tears and cried, "To think that our precious son had to die for somebody like that." Remember, I said, hard to take. I say this because, as difficult as it is to understand, there is still this thing called post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. In World War I, it was called shell shock. In World War II, it was combat stress. It manifests itself in many ways, and it can make some veterans hard to take. They appear callous, ungrateful, and even crazy. Many of our veterans come back from war only to live in the streets, to never again be a productive member of society. But let me assure you that in most cases, this is not by choice. It's by condition. Jesus had 12 disciples. We read where he taught them, led them, and demonstrated the gospel for them. Yet when Jesus died on the cross, they ran, they hid, they cried, and yes, they even began to doubt. Were they bad people? No. PTSD existed even in our Lord's day. Even then, people would see and experience things that were so shocking to them, it was hard for them to recover. Shock, denial, withdrawal, it's all part of PTSD. Should we dislike, turn our backs on, or refuse help? I believe not. Jesus gave everything for us. The disciples gave everything for us. Paul gave everything for us. On Memorial Day, we remember those who gave everything. And on Veterans Day, we remember those who gave everything and those who were willing to give everything for us. Is it possible that such sacrificial love for us, for our country, is actually noticed by our children? Does it continue on through generations? Do they remember the sacrifices? The mother of a 9-year-old boy named Mark received a phone call in the middle of the afternoon. It was the teacher from her son's school. "Mrs. Smith, something unusual happened today in your son's third grade class. Your son did something that surprised me so much, I thought you should know about it immediately." The mother began to grow worried. The teacher continued, "Nothing like this has happened in all my years of teaching. This morning I was teaching a lesson on creative writing. And as I always do, I tell the story of the ant and the grasshopper. The ant works hard all summer and stores up plenty of food, but the grasshopper plays all summer and does no work. Then winter comes, the grasshopper begins to starve because he has no food, so he begins to beg, 'Please, Mr. Ant, you have much food. Please let me eat too.' Then I said, 'Boys and girls, your job is to write the ending to the story.' Your son, Mark, raised his hand. 'Teacher, may I draw a picture?' 'Well, yes, Mark, if you like, you may draw a picture. But first, you must write the ending to the story.' As in all the years past, most of the students said the ant shared his food through the winter, and both the ant and the grasshopper lived. A few children wrote, 'No, Mr. Grasshopper, you should have worked in the summer. Now I have just enough food for myself.' So the ant lived and the grasshopper died. But your son ended the story in a way from any other child ever. He wrote, 'So the ant gave all of his food to the grasshopper. The grasshopper lived through the winter, but the ant died.' And the picture? At the bottom of the page, Mark had drawn 3 crosses. Veterans. There are veterans with families. There are veterans who have no family. There are veterans who consider the United States of America their family. But all veterans have earned our respect, regardless of what, if anything, they consider family. There's more than 3 crosses around the world. In closing, I offer this story from a young man in Fort Worth. He says, "A few weeks ago, I spent a lot of time watching Ken Burns' documentary called The War, and it was on PBS. The documentary ran for 7 nights and was about 14 and a half hours long. It chronicled the history of World War II, not through the eyes of historians or professors, but through the eyes of the men who served in Germany and Japan, and through the eyes of the men and women who fought the war on the home front here in America. The stories were intimate and personal. There were many tears. The last two episodes focused on the final stages of the war in Germany and focused on the last two major battles in the Pacific. My grandfather was in both of those last two Pacific battles. The first on a tiny island called Iwo Jima, and the second at a place called Okinawa. The fighting at Iwo Jima and Okinawa was some of the most vicious fighting of all of World War II. Ken Burns had uncovered hours of color home movie footage of the fighting at Iwo Jima and Okinawa. The color footage was a stark contrast to the black and white World War II footage that we usually see. It made Okinawa and Iwo Jima very real and very painful to watch. At the end of the last episode, the following words came onto the screen. 1,000 veterans of World War II now die every day in the United States. I became overwhelmed with emotion. My grandfather is in a nursing home in Virginia. My mind and my heart were very much with him as I sat alone in the living room. There are things in life which we very much associate as the fruits of our own labors and our own efforts. We have a safe and comfortable home. We have two cars in our driveway. We have two beautiful children who both go to good schools. My wife and I both have jobs that we love. We eat good meals and wear comfortable clothes. We are good citizens participating in our community and exercising our right to vote. Sometimes it is tempting to think that all of these good things are the result of our own hard work and effort. But sitting in the darkness of my living room watching the closing scenes of that documentary, thinking about my life and about my grandfather, I was struck by this truth. Any good things that I have or any good thing that I am is a gift to me from my grandfather. Likewise, any good things I have or any good thing that I am is a gift to me from my Lord. The same Jesus who sat there and watched as the widow put in her two copper coins. The same Jesus who sat there and said, she gave most of all. Our veterans, many of them, when they went overseas, didn't have all that much. Some of them were very young, hadn't even started their lives yet here in the States, and they now lay dead, or they've come back injured. We see that every day, even today, from Afghanistan and Iraq. I would ask that on this day that we show our gratitude to our veterans, that we give them their due respect for the life they put on the line, and keep in mind that our Lord did even more as he was nailed to the cross for each and every one of us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you this day realizing that your Son gave his all. And we give thanks for our veterans who have given their all to ensure that we have our freedoms and that we're able to come together and to worship and to be in our communities as free people. Oh God, please be with us. Guide us as we go forth from this place, that we may continue to understand the great gifts that have been given to us by you and by those whom you have blessed in the defense of our country. For we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.